Well, good morning again. It is so good to be here with all of you. My name is John Simonson. I am the associate pastor here at Foley United Methodist Church, and it's my joy to bring a message to you today. But before we get started, I wanted to remind everyone, if you've got kids or grandkids that are looking for something to do, we will be hosting an online vacation Bible school next week. For more information on that, you can go to foleyumc.org/VBS. You can find out all the information you need to know, and I think your kids are really going to love it and have a good time. So take a chance and look that up, and then let your kids or grandkids know about it. Now, we're starting a new sermon series today called You Think You've Got It Bad? I think with everything that's going on in the world around us today, it's fitting. It just, there's a lot of stuff. Life is not always easy. Life is not always fair. And sometimes it stinks. There's no easy way to put it. We find ourselves in the middle of a pandemic, and there's people that are battling isolation and battling loneliness, and we're trying to figure out how we're going to live life in a new way. We don't know when it's going to end or when we're going to be back to normal or if we're going to be back to normal. We find ourselves in the midst of a world that is divided by hate. Our country is being divided right now. Nolan just talked about it. It's not something that's just going to go away overnight. It's something that's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take intentionality to figure out. But we're not alone. You're not the only one that feels this way. You can look at some memes that are going around on social media right now. One of my favorite memes about 2020, this year just seems to, it got off to a rough start and it ain't getting any easier. One of my favorite memes is from the movie The Princess Bride. At the very top of the screen, it says, "Waking up every morning in 2020. And then the picture is of the little boy who's sick, sitting in bed with his grandfather sitting in the chair next to him, holding the book that he's reading the story out of. And the meme says, "Let's see here, where were we? Oh, yes, the pit of despair." Number one, that is a fantastic movie. And number two, man, how true does that feel sometimes? Just when you think it can't get any worse, you wake up the next day and it just seems to have gotten worse. It's not fair, and it just is like everything is hitting us all at once. Whether it be that we can't get our personal lives together, because we just keep tripping and falling over our own selves, whether it be we feel like our friends and family are abandoning us and casting us out. We feel like we're standing on our own beliefs and the world hates us for it. It's bad. And so right now, that's kind of the inspiration for this sermon series. You think you've got it bad? Well, you're not the only one. We're going to look at several characters found in the Bible that have had a pretty rough life, looking at how we can learn from God's Word how it is we can handle the world we live in today, what it is that we need to overcome and be better. Today we're going to start with a person who was born out of a miracle, who wasn't expected, but was God promised. He also struggled, and he fell short, struggled with a recurring temptation that ultimately led to his capture and his defeat. But thankfully, we serve a God who's a Redeemer God, and this person is ultimately redeemed and accomplishes more in his death than he did in his life. So we're going to start by reading Judges 15, 9 through 7. 9 through 17. Judges 15, 9 through 17. The Philistines marched up, made camp in Judah, and released their forces on Lehi. The people of Judah asked, "Why have you marched up against us?" "We've marched up to take Samson prisoner," they replied, "and do to him what he did to us." So 3,000 people from Judah traveled down to the cave and the rock at Etam and said to Samson, "Don't you realize the Philistines rule over us? What have you done to us?" But he told them, "I just did to them what they did to me." Then the people of Judah said to him, "We've come down to take you prisoner so we can turn you over to the Philistines." Samson responded to them, "Just promise you won't attack me yourselves." "We won't," they said to him. "We'll only take you prisoner so we can turn you over to them. We won't kill you." Then they tied him up with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When Samson arrived at Lehi, the Philistines met him and came out shouting. The Lord's Spirit rushed over him. The ropes on his arms became like burned up linen, and the ties melted right off of his hands. He found a donkey's fresh jawbone, picked it up, and used it to attack 1,000 men. Samson said, "With a donkey's jawbone, stacks on stacks, with a donkey's jawbone, I've killed 1,000 men." When he finished speaking, he tossed away the jawbone, so that place became known as Ramoth Lehi, or Jawbone Hill. Samson is an interesting character in the Bible. His story begins with a woman who was barren. The very first scripture in the Samson story says that Israel had disappointed God again, so he had turned them over to the Philistines. But then he sends a messenger to this barren woman and promises her a child that he will use for Israel's glory and overcoming the Philistines, for God's glory in overcoming the Philistines for Israel. God promises this deliverer in the midst of what's happening in the world around the Israelites. As Samson grows older and begins to travel about, he sees a Philistine woman and falls in love. He tells his parents about her and says, "I'm going to marry that woman." Even with the objection of his parents saying, "Why don't you marry one of your own?" He says, "No, that's the woman I'm marrying." As he goes to woo her, to talk to the father and get her hand in marriage, a lion comes out and attacks him. He tears this lion apart with his bare hands and leaves the carcass along the side of the road. He goes, arranges with the father the marriage, and then he goes back to get his parents so that they can have a feast. On his way back to have the feast, he notices in the skeleton of the lion a beehive has set up. So he takes some of the honey and eats it, shares it with his parents, but he hasn't told anybody what's happened with this lion. At the feast, according to the customs of the day, there were 30 men given to Samson as a wedding party. And while they're all celebrating and having a good time, Samson challenges them with a riddle. He says, "If you can solve this riddle, I will give you linen and fine cloth. But if you can't, then you have to give me fine cloth and linen." So at the end of 5 days, the people in his party are unable to solve the riddle. So they go to his fiance and say, "You need to seduce him and get him to tell us what the answer is." This really begins the downfall of Samson. This is beginning of the recurring theme in Samson's life, this constant struggle that he has. Even though he sees things happening, it's such a part of his life that it always seems to trip him up. the lady does get the answer out of him, and she betrays him. It angers him, so he ends up killing a bunch of Philistine men to take their cloth to give to the wedding party. It goes on and on. He sets fire to their hay bales. He leaves. He comes back. He finds out his wife is given to somebody else. Then he gets upset, finds out that the Philistines had ended up killing the father and his wife because of what Samson did when he found out that she wasn't available anymore. I mean, it's just an ongoing story that just takes place over and over again. When Samson fled to the mountain, his own people turned against him because the Philistines started attacking them. So even though Samson was doing what God had called him to do, his own people turned against him and handed him over. But God being God and blessing Samson with this power, he is able to pick up a jawbone and kill 1,000 people, which only inflames the situation. And then later on, again, Samson's traveling around and we see him fall in love with Delilah. We know the story of Samson and Delilah. She tempts him to try to find out what his weakness is, how the Philistines can beat him. He knows what she's doing, yet he can't stop himself. Ultimately, she finds out what his true weakness is, and she lulls him into sleep and has somebody shave off his hair, and he becomes weak. There's a scripture right there after that point that I think is one of the most powerful scriptures in this story. It's one that is easily overlooked, that I've overlooked a bunch until preparing for this sermon. After Delilah tempts Samson and he gives up his weakness, she gets him to fall asleep. She brings somebody in to shave his head, and then there's a verse that says, immediately his hair began to grow back. To me, looking at that this time, what I saw was an amazing example of God's love and God's grace. That even though we struggle, even though life's hard, even though there are things that happen to us that we just can't seem to overcome, and it brings us to our knees and to our lowest point, immediately Samson's hair began to grow back. Immediately, God's grace and God's love began to restore him. How true is that in our lives? We know that Samson has his eyes cut out and is paraded around in front of all the Philistines. And at the very last piece of the story, Samson is brought out as a show so the Philistines can brag about what they've done. They place him between two pillars. And in all the movies that we've seen and in the description of the story in the scripture, Samson knocks over these two pillars with his last ounce of strength, not only causing his death, but causing the death of over 3,000 Philistine leaders and important people. Samson didn't have the best of lives. He had it pretty bad, especially in the end. Do you ever feel like you just can't win sometimes, especially like what we talked about with Sam? A good intended protests that get interrupted with hate and turn violent. Not just those, but are there things in your life that just you can't seem to shake? They just happen? It's like a recurring trap. Whatever it is, whether it's money issues or lack of money issues, whether it's work stress or family stress, whether it's self-worth, whether it's depression, it just always seems to trip you up. You can be doing the right thing, living the life that God has intended for you to live, but it just seems like there's this nagging battle that happens inside of you. And before you know it, you can see what's coming, you can see what's happening, But before you know it, you're tripped up. You're falling flat on your face. You're wanting to yell out to God, can I just catch a break? You're wanting to yell out to God, can my life get any worse? I'll be honest, I'm a little afraid of that second question because I don't want to challenge God. I don't want God to say, well, yeah, it can. But I'll also be honest and say there's a lot of times I live in that self-pity. There's a lot of times I'm like, what am I doing and why am I here? And it can be as simple as this isn't my job. I don't want to be here. What? How did I end up here? Just yesterday, I was up in the attic down the hall getting ready to try to upgrade our live streaming services in the well. And I found myself laying on my stomach in the attic with my head pressed up against the roof and a whatever it's called, rafter or whatever the struts, whatever they are. That just shows you I shouldn't be up there. I don't even know what I'm crawling on. But I find myself going, why really? I mean, this isn't what I signed up for. But there's things in life like tropical storms. There's things in life like jobs that you just got to do, that you may not want to do, but you find yourself saying, this isn't who I want to be. This isn't where I'm supposed to be. Why is it so bad? Well, there's a few key points in Samson's story that I think help us out, that kind of give us a guide to how we can deal with these issues. The first thing is that God knew the world he was bringing Samson into. I mean, the very first scripture says the Israelites had disappointed God, so he handed them over to the Philistines. So God knew what was happening in the world around them when he brought Samson into it. He knew that there was no love lost between the Israelites and the Philistines. I mean, there was a whole lot of hate going on. But he chose to bring Samson into that time and place. Even though Samson was living the life he was supposed to live, the very people he was serving and doing it for turned against him. Even though Samson was brought into this time and place by God, Samson still struggled with a recurring temptation, with a recurring battle that he couldn't seem to beat. I can't help but to think about those things and think, God knows exactly what's happening in the world around us today. He knows about the pandemic. He knows about the fact that our country is divided by hate. He knows about the murder hornets. He knows about the tropical storm. And he knows what's happening in our world today. He's still working in the midst of everything that's happening. And he's equipped each and every one of us to join him in that work. As a matter of fact, he knew what would be happening today, and he still brought you into the world. Just like Samson. Now, we may not have the strength of Samson, but we have the same Spirit of God inside of us that was inside of him. We may not have the muscles that Samson had, but we do have a heart strengthened by God that allows us to fight injustice and hate by using our heart to love. We may not be strong enough to pick up a jawbone and slay 1,000 people, but we could pick up compassion. And when 1,000 people cry out over injustice, we can listen. We can choose how we respond. Maybe an angel didn't appear to your mother before you were born. Maybe your mother didn't have an angel give her instructions on how you were supposed to be raised. But we all have a risen Savior who invites us to follow Him and learn how to respond when the world seems to be falling apart. We can choose to get wrapped up in all of the bad stuff around us, or we can choose to stand firm in who God is calling us to be, who God made us to be, who God is teaching us to be. There will be times in your life where people turn against you. Your friends and family may even turn against you. And you can choose to give up. Or you can choose to stand firm. There may be times in your life where you stand firm on your beliefs and the world casts you out because of those beliefs. And you can choose to give up. Or you can choose to stay strong. And there will be times that you fall. There will be times that you fall from those recurring temptations or those recurring battles that you struggle with each and every day. And you can choose to give up, or you can choose to stand firm. You can remember that one little scripture that says, immediately Samson's hair began to grow back. And you can remember that immediately God will be there to help you begin to pick up, to get back up, to brush yourself off, and to keep going. What happens to you when you find yourself in that place saying, life can't get any worse? How do you respond? Do you withdraw? Do you get angry? Do you yell? Do you give up? I think that's probably the biggest lesson we can take from this is even Samson gave up for a moment. When he lost the battle, when he gave in to that temptation, when he had his hair shaved off, when he got taken captive and his eyes were gouged out, there's a piece of that story where he serves as a slave. We can choose how we respond. We can choose what we want to focus on. When Samson is called into the festival to be shown off, to be made fun of, he asks the one who's leading him to lean him up against the pillars that support the building. I wonder what was going through his mind. I wonder how many of us have pillars that hold up hate, fear, doubt, worry in our lives. I wonder how many of us have pillars in our life that have been built from an automatic response we've developed over time. A response of running away or giving up. A response of yelling or joining the fight. I wonder what would happen if we remembered what Samson did. That's not our only choice. That we could be leaned up against those pillars and that we can grab hold of them and we can call out to the one God who's not a God that leaves us behind but a Redeemer God. That we can call out to Him and He will restore. He will redeem. He will rebuild. We can call out to Him and He will give us the power to knock down those pillars. Maybe it's time in your life that you knock down those pillars of hate, fear, worry, doubt, anger. And maybe in doing so, you can be like Samson and accomplish more with the death of a life built on those pillars by replacing them with the life God called us to live today. Based on pillars built out of love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness. Pillars that allow us to choose how we respond to the world that tries to beat us down. Pillars that allow us to live in the kingdom of God now, destroying our old life and living into the new life that God brings. Living into the new life that God lives, God promises. You think you've got it bad? Yeah, life stinks sometimes. But you have a choice how you're going to respond. Think of Samson. Maybe when time gets tough, maybe when you're at your wit's end, you can remember the strength that God gave Samson and know that He gives you the same strength too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for all that You do for us. Lord, You give us new life. And Lord, You're not unaware. You know everything that is happening in the world around us today. You know exactly the world You brought us into. So Lord, give us strength in our times of weakness. Give us confidence and remind us who You made us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.